Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number 135.
135.
Well, I've been away for a while.
Jerome Mundell's back.
Hello.
Sprinted up, Andy Franks, the expectant father.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you did last week's show. How's it going? How's it going?
Oh, it's great.
Are we going to start a podcast crash soon?
I don't see why not. I think it would be...
two of us,
well, Stu as well, if he ever turns up. And also, we can put Stu in the crash.
Yeah, he's a big
God thing. Knows he needs it. There's not a lot going on at the moment, is there?
No, not really.
Busy summer.
Fair big game.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll start with one point I saw on the BBC today. It's 10 years to the day that Mark Vivian Foe tragically died on the pitch against Colombia in the Confederations Cup.
He had a heart attack, didn't he?
He had a... hereditary heart condition. I can't remember the technical name for it, but
that was a shocker, that one.
Yeah, terrible. He was a great player. Apparently very well thought of.
Very nice guy as well.
I mean, City, Leon, and City, Leon, and Lons all retired his shirt number.
Yeah.
He was very close to joining United at one point, actually, before the '98 World Cup, but.
Talking about retiring shirt numbers, I think there's only two English clubs that have actually done it. West Ham with number 6 and Bobby Moore.
Yeah.
And obviously Mark Vivian Foe and Man City. But I've just been reading that. The president of Malaga, or the owner of Malaga, wants to retire Isco's shirt.
Number 2.
He's 23 years old. He's played 73 games for them. And they want to retire his number.
That's obscene.
No, ridiculous.
That is going to reflect the transfer fee that they get.
Yeah,
around
maybe.
22, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, where's he going? Because City look like the front runners, but...
You'd go to Madrid if you were...
I even heard a few rumours that he was heading to United earlier in the week, but they seem to have got away very quickly.
I think his destination is Madrid.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, Pellegrini's at Man City now, and apparently he's his football father, but he said he can't miss the opportunity of joining Real Madrid.
What is this with football fathers? Because Michael Essien come out calling Mourinho daddy the other week. I mean...
It's a bit crap, isn't it? But then, look, actually, you say that, I mean, from a United perspective, there's a lot of people that would call Sir Alex Ferguson their father, isn't there?
I think so, yeah, but...
No, it's quite a few...
David Beckham, I think, before, has called him a father figure.
So is Giggs.
Yeah.
So is Scholes.
It's a bit peculiar for me. I mean...
Rio Ferdinand is his little father, isn't
he? I almost understand Giggsy, because his dad's a bit of a... wrong'un, by all accounts.
Well,
and
Neville.
And Neville.
Neville allegedly. Yeah, that's still ongoing in the courts. But,
no fancy his chances.
Well, you never know. You never know. Gary might pull a few strings. He'll get the old TV screen out in the court and show how his dad couldn't possibly have been there. How he was coming from the back.
I'm looking forward to him and Carragher exchanging views on
that'll be interesting.
I'm looking
forward to whether anyone can understand Carragher.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be subtitled.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Well, there was that...
I like Jamie Carragher, I think.
Wasn't he subtitled on that Liverpool documentary?
he was
the only person
Just
ridiculous.
Do you think he'll look red-faced before the game starts? So he always looked knackered before kick-off, didn't he?
Before warm-up,
didn't he? I would actually quite like to see him and Roy Keane on the same commentary panel.
God.
There's very few people I think are willing to stand up to Roy Keane.
No, I don't like
I think Eamon Dunphy in Ireland's one of them, but I think Jamie Carragher, mind you, Eamon Dunphy wrote Roy Keane's autobiography for him, so maybe he wouldn't stand up to him. Maybe they'd share the same twisted views, but I think Carragher would give it a good go.
Managerial merry-go-round?
It continues, doesn't it?
It does. What's going on?
Well, Carlo Ancelotti is now officially at Real Madrid, as if that wasn't always going to happen. And Laurent Blanc's taking his job at Paris Saint-Germain.
Only for a year.
He's got a two-year contract, isn't it? It's a year with an extension, with an option for another 12 months.
Who's that, Blanc? Yeah.
It's strange because Blanc's a good young manager. Wenger has a fantastic record, but...
Do you build a future around him?
Yeah, exactly.
PSG obviously feel that they've got a chance to attract Wenger, and if you bring Blanc in on a... four-year contract, then you're going to have to pay him off a lot more
I'd love to see PSG give Wenger £200 million to spend, and he goes out and spends £20 million of it on a few youngsters and pockets the rest.
Yeah.
But One thing I wondered with that is Wenger's got a bit of a history with Ibrahimovic, because Ibrahimovic famously went on trial at Arsenal, was given a...
He didn't even have a trial, he was brought over to see the club. They gave him a shirt.
They asked him to have a trial and he said, no, I don't do trials.
I don't do auditions, is what he said, apparently what he said.
Fair enough, I think he's done alright out of it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
From a young age, old Zlatan was showing the traits that we know and love. So that was quite pleasing. But yeah, managerial, that's about it.
Apparently Ancelotti holds all the keys to Rooney, Higuain,
Ronaldo, who is allegedly meeting United's board this week.
Oh yeah.
If you believe the Mail Online.
He holds all the keys to the top players, strikers, Cavani, Higuain, isn't he?
Either at Juventus or
Juventus have had a bit accepted for Tevez, so I think he's off to Arsenal, which could be a great signing for them. I mean, you never know with these players, it could go monumentally wrong.
He's got all the characteristics of a pretty exciting striker.
Although I have been told he's a bit of an Andy Cole. He scores a lot of goals, but he needs a few opportunities to put the first one away.
I was having a discussion with a couple of my mates yesterday. He said he could become, like, obviously you've got Ronaldo and Messi way out there, and you've got Ibrahimovic and Van Persie and stuff like that. He could step up into that.
He's at the right age, isn't he?
I thought he was older than 25.
I did,
24.
I thought he was like
26, 28. I'd be excited about him.
All my friends are Gooners and they're all excited about
him. I'd be a bit disappointed if I was one of the Gooners who's given up their season ticket as well. Mentioning no names, Mr. Joe Berry.
Yeah.
But,
Glenn Davis, yeah.
Wow.
Real fans, I mean.
Real fans, yeah.
But no, he's...
Tevez moving from City.
Tevez off to Juventus, yeah.
That looks...
Deal's all but done, apparently. I think it moves him something like 5 miles closer to Argentina. I won't miss him.
City are going to miss 195,000. Week
well, I don't think City ever have missed 195 grand a week, even when they were paying it.
But they are trying to get down to the fair play.
They're going to have to, obviously. So,
yeah, that's wages they can get rid
of. But yes, my feelings on him are quite clear and quite obvious. I think City will miss him. They look a lot better, and certainly last season when he was playing.
If he's in the mood and plays, I think he
is in the mood a lot more than people give him credit, though, because he is a hard worker.
That's what I like about him.
United fans loved him.
Yeah, he works so hard. Like, for all the strikers that you see, I would say that United got
return than City did, though, out of Tevez.
Well, no, I don't think so. Tevez's first season and a half at City was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he was fantastic at United as well in his first season. His second season, obviously, he didn't play as much. When he did play, he scored a lot. But I think he's done very well at City until he had that whole nonsense, and since then he's not quite scaled the height.
It's a bit of burden on him, isn't it?
Talking of nonsense.
And it just goes on and on. This stupid money that's being touted about for Cavani, what is that about?
Yeah, he's a very good player by all accounts. I can't say I've seen much of him out of the Champions League, but...
It's going to go on and on all summer and really wind me up.
Even he's come out and said he doesn't think he's worth the money being touted, but I think that's more to try and edge it. That's to try and get Napoli to accept
Napoli, they're not going to accept Napoli for their top asset, but fucking hell.
40 million.
Even 40?
40 million is what's offered, and then his buyout clause is 53.
Well, if that's what he's worth, how much is Suarez worth?
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that there's a 40 million buyout in his contract.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, he's another one, obviously, who Ancelotti might end up looking at. Yeah. But I'm really hoping it's all just going to explode.
And what about at United? If Rooney... I mean, you're being linked with a lot of top strikers.
Yeah,
I don't
buy into most of them.
How does Welbeck and Hernandez and
certainly
Van Persie's obviously top of the pecking order. How do they feel about being linked with Cavani and
I think they probably know a lot more about how realistic it is than we do. So if it is real, then yeah, obviously if you're Javier Hernandez, who scored a lot of goals last season, but had to come off the bench a lot of the time to do it.
He ain't going
to
be content with sitting
on the bench. And especially after Danny Welbeck obviously he's a different player, but you've got in the team a lot more.
Yeah.
If I were Hernandez, I'd be looking around. But then, like I said, he probably knows a lot more. The only...
How old is Hernandez?
He's 24, I think, yeah. Now. So
he wants to stop playing, doesn't he?
Which I think he could at United, if we don't sign anyone else, because he does offer something different.
Yeah, but with the system that you play, where are you playing him? Because you're playing
He's one of those that you have to play in certain games. That's mainly when Van Persie's not playing.
Yeah.
What about Zaha?
The hard way, I think he's more of a winger.
Yeah.
Apparently, Moyes wants to play two up top.
Okay.
Apparently.
Yeah, actually,
Well, that's it. It's all going to come down to where Rooney goes. If Rooney stays, I don't think we'll sign any striker unless you count Ronaldo as a striker. I don't think we'll sign him, but I think he's the only one we'd go after actively. Unless, like I said, maybe someone like Hernandez is going to go and we just don't know about it.
Apparently Rooney's preferred club of choice if he was to move is Barcelona, I read.
Well, apparently Barcelona are sniffing around a bit, which it could fit. He is a better footballer than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
He can pass the ball.
Yeah.
He does have a good touch, but he's not
form. His rate's right, the way that Barcelona
defend
his numbers.
I think happy. He performs his best. And he's not been happy. Back end of last season, he wasn't happy, was he? In the season, in and out. And he didn't perform to
well, and Rooney tends to have a season on, a season off. If you look at his record over the last few seasons, I think his goal record is 35 goals, 16 goals, 35 goals, 16 goals. So hopefully next season he's going to get 35 goals. But we'll see. I mean, it's all ifs and buts and candy and nuts and all that, but I'm sure there will be plenty more to come. Have Brentford signed anyone?
Yeah, we completed the signing of Jake Bidwell. So he's been alone with us for the last 18 months from Everton, and he said it wasn't like he signed for Brentford, it's like he's returned.
But the other lad who you were after, who was on loan, he's gone elsewhere, hasn't
Tom Adeyemi, he's not with us.
He's gone to Norwich. Championship.
Well, you can't blame him. Norwich didn't want to offer him a contract. We tried to hold on to him, but to be honest, he's better than the League One.
Yeah.
He was one of the best players I watched last year. Shame we didn't get him, but,
Looking
at League One, I have to say, it looks like it's going to be a harder league to get out of than it did last season, actually.
It's very open league, isn't it? It's quite stacked.
Well, you look at it and you think, all right, so obvious favourites, Sheffield United are always up there.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got to get promoted at some stage. They're still a massive club. Wolves dropping down into that league, that is just... It is, and their squad's... got to be pretty
they've transfer listed this week O'Hara, Carl Henry, Roger Johnson. He's fallen from grace since Birmingham, hasn't he?
He's
tipped for an England call up and
Hunt,
I think it might be I can't quite remember. They've still got Kevin Doyle on the books. He'll be earning a pretty penny. They've still got Wayne Hennessy, who's had a few injuries, but it's a very good young goalkeeper.
They still average a good enough crowd to be able, depending on what they're going to sell, how many tickets they're going to sell in League One, but if they can average the
they've
sort of
they've got a very strong fan base,
then they'll still be able to hold on to a lot of those earners.
But interesting to see.
Look at that league, and then you look at everyone else around. Crawley Town have got money.
Gillingham have just come up as champions, and there's often the team that comes up in the lower league
fair enough, and then you've got other teams who have got money behind them, teams like MK Dons. It's not going to be an easy
Coventry
league.
Coventry haven't got money behind them, but they're a big club,
but I can't see anything
big club,
but then who would have said at the start
big
of last
no
season
ground.
Who would have said at the start of last season that Yeovil would have gone up
and Bournemouth
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting league, but I think harder than last year to go up. So
interesting. Yeah. Have Villa signed anyone over the age of 15?
No.
No.
Weren't you in for about three players, John?
We signed a total of five players, all under the age of...
I think they're interested in signing your kid on a pre-contract, Andy. That's where they're going for.
Well, they're trying to get Forrester back, actually, from our place.
I'm talking about your actual kid.
Well... Hopefully, that would be nice. Retired before he formed.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
That's what I think.
Well, you know, the way Villa played at times last season, even if he is a girl, they'll do alright. Not a girl! Can't play football because that was a link. That was a quite similar
Rachel
link.
Yankee.
Rachel Yankee. Congratulations, today becoming England's most capped footballer ever at senior level.
Well done.
136 out of playing Japan. Congratulations. Women's English football has come on leaps and bounds in the last 15 years. Women's football, lads. Yeah, I don't buy into the people who say it's not of a high enough standard, because you see some of the players and they are ridiculously good.
Yeah.
But, and that's just me trying to cover that previous. No. Although, one I have to mention, we mentioned a few months ago, Daniel Bennett from Singapore, born in Great Yarmouth. In August, can become the most capped English-born international of all time. When they play, I think they play Oman and they play another nation, I can't remember, in the qualifiers for the AFC Cup. So, we'll be keeping an eye on him. Poor Shilton. It's not going well, is it?
It's not.
Poor Shilts. Oh well.
We'll always remember.
He's a bit of a grumpy sod anyway. God bless him. International Football Confederations Cup. Goodbye Tahiti.
It's actually a better tournament though than I probably thought it was going to be.
Well, I think the sad thing is, I thought if England ever got in there, which is unlikely, but if we did, we'd end up sending a bloody squad without half the top players, wouldn't we? Because we don't treat it properly in this country. The way people have viewed it is, oh, it's just some shitty toss about.
Look at the way Spain have played there, Uruguay, Brazil, Italy, they're all taking strong squads,
that's what I'm saying, everyone else takes
England
it seriously.
England would take a strong squad.
We'd end up with
the under-21 squad, probably.
Yeah.
Even the under-21 squad that got kicked out wasn't the 21 squad that we could have.
You won't get players like Welbeck and the rest of them.
How heartwarming was it to see the Tahiti goalkeeper save that penalty against Uruguay? Brilliant. It's patronising, but they have been a breath of fresh air, because obviously they aren't of the standard required.
Spain not tennis,
but they gave it a go.
Spain,
I mean, the goalkeeper looks a bit disheartened against Spain, but the team, they've just gone, they've played football, they've not sat there and willingly been spectators.
Well, they've been a whipping boys, but they've taken it well, haven't they? They've given their best.
People have fallen in love with them a little bit, I think.
Really?
I have.
Have you?
I quite
have you
like
got a shirt?
I've not yet, no, although...
Who would you have on the back of this shirt?
I'd have Vaihurua, who is the lad who used to play for Nantes.
Really?
And I don't think you pronounce his name like that, but close enough, innit? But,
is he a professional
footballer? Tahiti's actually one of the places I'm looking out for my honeymoon next year, so maybe I will get a shirt next summer.
Oh.
Back
gone.
It up.
Yeah.
Go and do a bit of canoeing.
National sport out there.
Well, football might be soon.
So, what are the fixtures in that tournament now?
So it's
Italy, Spain, and Uruguay, Brazil.
Yeah. Ooh, that might be
Uruguay, wow. Brazil is going to be a cracker.
Battle of the Confederations in the final.
Yeah,
which I'd put my hat on it being Brazil versus Spain.
Do you know what? I think Uruguay will get the better of Brazil.
They've got a chance.
I think Uruguay will get the better of them. I think Uruguay are a top team. I mean, we saw it in the World Cup.
It's a quality strike force, isn't it? Cavani, Suarez and Forlan.
But they're, you know, you look at their midfield and their defence, they're a much stronger team.
It's strange though, because they're struggling in qualifying for the World Cup. I think they're currently maybe fifth or sixth. And obviously the top four go to, and then fifth place goes into the playoff.
Right, okay.
And they're kind of in a three-way battle at the moment, I think, with Peru and Venezuela with that.
They're like Portugal. They'll qualify.
Well, I don't know. Venezuela and Peru are no slouches. They have been for many years, but at the moment, it's whether Uruguay can get all their top players out to South America for the qualifiers, which tends to be the problem for the South American nations.
So it's Uruguay, Brazil, and it's Spain against Italy.
Mario's out. He's injured. Yeah, out for the tournament. It's a shame, but I'm sure he'll find ways to fill his time.
I reckon.
Out in Brazil on the beach in Rio.
I reckon he's doing a lot of charity work out there, apparently, and getting and being really really happy as well.
Knowing him, that means sleeping with ugly girls, doesn't it?
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was proper charity
work. He's settling down.
He's got a baby on the way and everything.
Settling down with the right five or six women.
Yeah.
No, he's got one bird.
One bird, yeah. We're only joking, Mario.
One
I know you're listening.
Six women.
Yeah. Bless him. No, I just want the season to start.
There's
got a long way to go. Yet.
I just wanted to start. I mean, the fact that I've got
training starts next week, though, doesn't it?
It does.
That's when things start hooting up.
Well, speaking of training starting, Pep Guardiola's first training session today for Bayern Munich. 25,000 turned up to watch it.
Bloody hell.
Obscene, innit?
25,000 at Brentford.
We averaged just over 6,000 last season.
Because United do their annual summer training day at Old Trafford, where it's free to get in, and they only get about 10,000 turn up. And that's in the school holidays. You'd expect kids to turn up.
Come on, but Munich have just won the treble.
Yeah.
And
got a new manager.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the sort of club that's going to attract that sort of training attendance, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice little one. Actually, going back to the Confederation Cup, forgot to mention, and speaking of Uruguay, who saw Gus Poyet get sacked on air?
Oh, I watched that.
I didn't see it. Well, I read about it.
Brighton are denying it. They're saying he knew beforehand, but
he played it well.
He did a clever ploy. I wonder.
It's a funny. I'd love to know the real reasons that have gone on there. I think Dan Stephen knows a bit more, but I'm not sure we can possibly reveal. Do you think it was him who had a shit? Yeah.
I was going to say, do you reckon it was Gus that had a big
poo? I don't think it probably was, but you never know.
Who knows?
He looks like he's got it in him. Only joke.
I tell you what, Brighton though, if it is confirmed to be, you know, how it's come out, they're not really making themselves look like a good employer, are they? Not really. They're not ready potential managers. And there's a lot of people interested in the job.
Brighton, I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle next.
Poddle, Ericsson, and who's the other?
Ericsson's
job or any job.
He just got a job in China.
Yeah. But I'm sure he was being linked.
Oh, God.
And fucking McLaren as well.
Oh, God. Their names.
Steve.
Their names to get you excited if you're a Brighton player. I might put a few quid on them going down next season.
I think Hoddle wouldn't be too bad. I reckon.
People say that because
Ferdinand came out the other week and said that Hoddle
the under 21.
The problem is he's a terrible manager, and he's not done a job since that England job properly. He did okay at Southampton.
Do you reckon Maradona?
Maradona would be brilliant. Maradona in Brighton. Can you imagine him? He'd turn up in some gay bar, wouldn't he? Wearing God knows what and partying. He'd be brilliant. He would be fantastic.
You know, you listen to some like analysts, like former footballers, managers, and you hear them talk about football and you think, you've got a fucking clue what you're talking about. Hoddle was one of them. He just doesn't come across as being a good manager.
I think he's a good tactician, by all accounts. But he's a terrible manager. I mean, you think back to that 98 campaign and the way he treated Beckham in the aftermath, and the way he treated Beckham and Owen at the start by leaving him on the bench. And I know some people might say he was protecting him, and certainly in Owen's case maybe, but Beckham by then was a global superstar.
He did. You know what though, he did bring quite a few players through into the international fold.
He did.
I'm not saying that they wouldn't have come through anyway, but what was it? Was Sol Campbell or was he?
No, Sol Campbell was already there, but Ferdinand, Beckham, Owen, Mark Draper was in his first squad.
Mark Draper!
And I'll tell you who was on the bench for one of his friendlies against Chile. Trinidad and Tobago goalkeeper Shaka Hislop. Very nearly could have been an England player and then probably never played again.
Yeah.
But because he was on the bench, he actually got to go to a World Cup.
Yeah.
So heartwarming for him, I'm sure. Oh,
that's lovely.
But Hoddle, I don't like him. It says a lot that this summer I'm getting excited about Mingale going to.
That's another one, yeah.
Or Mignolet, or however it's pronounced.
So Reina's actually not the sort of goalkeeper who's going to sit around on the bench.
No, all the talk is Reina to Arsenal. Who I think he'd do well there because he's a good ball-playing goalkeeper.
You think about Reina to Arsenal, then you like the current Arsenal goalkeeper named
Chesney.
He never had a great season last year.
No,
but he is a good
young goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's a shot stopper.
Fabianski's actually not that bad a goalkeeper. He did well towards the end of the season.
Not that bad though.
Yeah.
This is the problem.
You have two good goalkeepers
or top class goalkeepers at your team.
But the problem is it's very difficult to keep two top class goalkeepers.
Well, I can't. Even more important, if you go back onto Arsenal, is can you afford to have two okay goalkeepers? No, you can't.
True.
You need a world class goalkeeper. You really do.
Yeah.
is Chesney a world class goalkeeper? No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He could be
one day.
He's Pepe Reina. He was.
Chesney has got what goalkeepers need in spades, and that's confidence.
Yeah. Yep.
Bags
of
it.
Which.
He is a good shot.
Yeah. Have they still got Vito Minoni?
Well,
I think so.
You know what? I'm pretty sure I saw him being linked with a loan move or a move to somewhere.
I think he should just move on. Wherever Arturo Lupoli's gone
Vito
as well.
Vito Minoni. Sounds like he should be in some mafia book that you read.
Yeah. I'll tell you who look like they could do some good business. Cardiff. Because they're apparently good.
Oh, they've stepped up one.
Tom Ince and Victor Wanyama. Celtic. I mean, they've
two
just
good
great signings.
Yeah, two good players. I like Tom Ince.
That's a real show of intent. Have they decided what colour shorts they're going to wear next season?
Oh, sure. Is it going to be red?
It's going to be red, but there was controversy because they released a new kit which had a red shirt and then slightly darker red shorts. All fans said that is hideous, and it did look daft. So they've now done a thing on their website where there's a choice of the darker red, a matching red, white, or blue shorts.
Wow. You can tell there's a lot going on at the moment.
But so you never know how that's going to go.
I'll tell you what is going on.
You've actually got stories, Jake.
I've got interesting stuff. Bad boys or bad teams or two Turkish sides, Fenerbahce and Besiktas, have been banned.
Two of the big three in Turkey.
Yeah, have been banned from Europe. Fenerbahce for 2 years, so they're not in this year's
Champions
League.
It's match fixing, isn't it?
And Besiktas for both domestic match fixing. So, yeah.
Do we know the teams that are going to replace them? Did it mention?
I think
Turkey aren't losing.
Turkey probably won't lose their representation. I wouldn't think.
No. So there'll probably be another Turkish side in there.
Trabzonspor, Beraspa.
I hate Trabzonspor. They knocked us out of the UEFA Cup.
Oh dear.
And Romanian side as well.
Steaua Bucharest, former Champions League winners.
For breaching Champions League relegation.
Participation regulations.
Naughty teams of the week.
And a naughty boy of the week is Gerard Kinsella, who's from Fleetwood, who's been banned for 2 years for a drug ban for a banned substance or steroids.
Yeah. Nandrolone, wasn't it?
Nandrolone, yeah.
He plays for Fleetwood.
And he's taking steroids.
And he said, the worst thing is, I don't think he's ever actually played for Fleetwood. He's been out on loan. So he's never...
Never actually played for Fleetwood. And he's been banned from football for 2 years. So,
Gerard Kinsella.
Oh, well.
What a dope.
Blessing.
Yeah, that's the bad boy.
Oh, boom, boom. I'm trying to think. Well, I think we're maybe going to some big questions. What we mentioned?
Andre Schell signed as well, isn't he?
Yes, he has.
Finally
signed after about 3 years of choking him.
I wonder if he'll be as good as Marco Marin.
He's still here, isn't it?
Apparently Marco Marin
was
stay and have a chance.
Fine for his wife.
The first leg at Griffin Park, Marco Marin was unbelievably bad. I think he touched the ball about four times, and all four times he gave it away. He's playing in midfield, absolutely rubbish.
That's because he came very highly rated. I've got a mate who lived in Bremen for a year and went to watch me. He said he was brilliant.
Well, he is like of that messy kind of ilk, is that he attacks players and dribbles in the squad.
I've never seen it.
Clearly just marked him too well.
We kicked him all over the park.
Yeah, there you go. It's funny how he didn't perform, isn't it?
Well, this new Chelsea signing, I don't know much about. He's a German international.
He's not got a great goal scoring record.
He said he'll play anywhere in up front, but prefers playing attacking left mid.
Need Damien Duff then. Jose Mourinho's mum's favourite player.
It's always
Damien Duff.
Yeah, Damien Duff. Oh no, it's Ranieri's mum. Ranieri's mum loved Damien Duff.
Is Ranieri at Roma now?
At Monaco, I thought.
He's at Monaco. Is he?
Yeah. Speaking of Jose Mourinho, didn't realise a colleague of ours, a girl called Suze, she is Spanish.
Susana Yanez.
Susana Yanez, yes. and her mum goes to church in Kensington. They have a Spanish mass, and Jose Mourinho always used to go there.
Amazing.
And she used to chat to him, and apparently he only used to go there when Chelsea won. If Chelsea lost, he wouldn't go.
He wouldn't go, yeah.
Which you'd think it'd be the other way around. If you lose, you go and pray that you win next week. But apparently a lovely chap. Used to go and chat to everyone, and yeah. So, Jose will be back at church this summer. Apparently she's very excited.
I am.
Yeah.
I want to hear about all the...
What, are you going to start going to Spanish church?
Yeah.
Oh dear, oh dear. Right, listener questions, because we bang on about it all the time.
We do.
Teams with good, bad penalty records. Have we spoken about that yet?
United have got a bad penalty
United
record.
United last season had a terrible one.
Are we talking about penalty shootouts or just...
Oh, just in general, because I can't remember your name, the person that submitted it. Sorry about that. But they said Southampton, because Ricky Lambert's got a great record. Letitia had a great record. James Beattie had a great record. United last season have been appalling.
Got a terrible record at shootouts.
Yeah.
Lost the last 10 or something stupid like that.
But, yeah, because United, I think we had 4 different penalty takers missed last season. I think Rooney, Suarez, Nani and Hernandez all missed penalties.
Suarez, the best one.
Sorry, Suarez, what am I talking about? Van Persie, oh, Freudian slip. I know a bit too much about United, Suarez. Evra's engineering it. God, that was bad.
Oh, wow.
That was bad.
Wow.
I've had a pint of Fair Dinkum, the Australian beer brewed in West Yorkshire. And clearly it's gone straight to my head.
Isn't it a lager cask ale?
It's a lager cask ale, yeah. I'm not sure they have lager cask ales in Australia, but it's called Fair Dinkum. I thought I'd drink it for our Australian listeners.
Fair Dinkum, man.
Fair Dinkum, yeah. But, yeah, but a lot of the big clubs do tend to have quite poor penalty records. It's funny, I mean, City, I don't think, have a great one. I think,
what team didn't have a
Arsenal
penalty?
Arsenal did all right in them, didn't they?
Well, I think Arsenal had a penalty.
Or, unless you're trying to get Henri and Perez to take it at the same time.
It's probably the most embarrassing penalty I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And the Brazilian who sort of hit the corner flag a couple of months ago.
Oh, God, yeah. And Neymar's penalty that went into orbit.
Tell you what, Balotelli could take a good penalty.
Yeah.
Mike.
Well, exactly. That's what it's all about. It's all about the confidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
My favourite is Davor Suker in the 98 World Cup when he was... I think he was taking one against Germany and he actually stopped beforehand and felt his pulse in his neck and then ran up and took it. Maybe. And in fact, Zinedine Zidane throwing up before he took a penalty against England.
Yeah.
Stepping up, taking it, going to side of the pitch, throwing up again and then carrying on. Legend.
Me and Dan Silva were discussing at work about penalty taking and stopping or fainting and whether it's legal or not. Apparently, from what Dan Silva tells me, it's under the referee's discretion whether you faint or stop, whether it's sportsmanlike.
See, I thought it was you were allowed to faint on the run-up but not
stop
as you take it, yeah, and not stop, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was you can't stop.
You can't completely stop. Once you've started your run-up, you can't completely stop.
You've got to be in some sort of
motion.
There
must be some sort of motion. Yeah,
that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
But apparently in the rule books, it's
under the referee's discretion.
Yeah. Whether
it's but that's always going to come down to the ref's discretion anyway, isn't it? Because how do you, unless you use a replay or something, you know, if you stop completely.
Yeah. Well,
Ronaldo's technique was a bit suspect for a while, wasn't it? Until he started missing, and then he
yeah.
lost them.
Well, he actually did that in the Champions League shootout when he fainted, then he was the one United player to miss. So it doesn't always work too well. I've never bought into the fainting. Another one, because I've got a follow-up question to this. Should there be a manager's transfer window?
No.
Probably not.
No.
Or there should, but it should. I think maybe there should be a rule about managers having a certain amount of games, unless there's some sort of gross misconduct.
Give them a probation period, you mean?
A probation, yes.
A mutual period of consent?
Maybe, yeah. I think that'd work, but it's difficult because...
We had a lot of manager merry-go-rounds and sackings. I think there was about 53, if my memory serves me right, managers in the English Football League last season. Which is like over half of the teams. If you think about it, over half of the teams actually change managers.
Yeah, season, which is obscene.
Which is ridiculous.
When you bear in mind...
What's even more embarrassing is that you've got Arsene Wenger, who's 18 years in right now.
Yeah.
So with Moyes and Ferguson moving or retiring, who's the next?
Alan Pardew, because Pulis obviously got away. He was long serving.
Alan Pardew, and how long's that? What, 3 years?
Less than that.
It's less than 3 years.
I think it was 2011, so it's 2.5 years now.
And then when you look at managers at clubs in their current roles, so who looks like they're going to be there for 10 years?
David Moyes, depending on how it goes,
Brendan Rodgers, I agree.
But again, Liverpool have been very volatile. I mean, Benitez would like to be there for years.
I think Rodgers potentially.
Yeah. If Liverpool do it correctly, they don't like change, do they? Obviously, the City and Chelsea managers will be there for years.
I'm hoping Lambert will be there for quite a while.
Lambert is one that looks like he could last a bit.
The problem is,
and no disrespect to even Aston Villa, but clubs lower down the leagues as well. If a manager does well at a club lower down, they get poached by someone higher up. Moyes,
Martinez, Laudrup.
Laudrup, with all the nonsense going on with his agent in Swansea, not necessarily. He might not even last the summer. Steve Clarke, potentially. West Brom, he's done a very good job there. But again, if the Chelsea job becomes available again and he can continue the work there, God knows what could happen. But my follow-up question to that is, I was thinking earlier, big managers from previous eras, so the likes of Brian Clough, Matt Busby, Bill Shankly, Ron Atkinson, arguably, and Bob Paisley, Don Revy. How do you think they would fare in today's game? Do you think the game has changed? I was thinking, Brian Clough would not get a sniff at a league winning side these days because he's too controversial. I mean, we think Mourinho and Ferguson can be controversial. He is another level.
That's why he never got the England job, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you think, would the likes of maybe Busby or Shankly, who built great teams, would they get the opportunity these days?
The only one who sort of has crossed the generation was Bobby Robson.
Well, and arguably Ferguson.
And Ferguson, but Bobby Robson...
And to be fair, Ferguson's success came when... Just before the Premier League era was starting,
I think it's a lot of money involved now, and decisions are made.
But then you'd argue, would a lot of today's managers have survived in the past? And probably not.
Probably not, no.
But then you look at how the game's evolved, so managers adapt to how the game evolves, don't they?
What managers could adapt to today's game? And very few probably could.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Joe Kinnear.
Joe Kinnear,
we can't mention Joe Kinnear.
He's managed in 10 different generations, according to that. Did you see he brought out his manager of the year, one of which
was the Daily Mail!
He's been a manager of the year in 1997. 1997.
Joe Kinnear, I love you.
Yeah.
Now he's gone and said that he will not do any. He's not going to be required to do any more interviews. I want to hear more from him.
Bless him.
Get him back on TalkSport.
He's trying his best. He is, honestly. We will talk about unsung heroes, but I think we need to give that more time. And I also want to keep Tim Bevan waiting a bit longer, so we will talk about that.
Been there a while, that one. Tim.
Exactly, but we promise. I think we need to give that its full support. So maybe next week we'll all think of a few unsung heroes, and I want proper unsung heroes. Not just everyone always says, oh, Paul Scholes or Dennis Irwin.
No,
proper unsung heroes. Jordi Cruyff and Christopher Ray and the likes. But I think we've managed to stretch it out quite nicely this week. Actually, we've done almost 40 minutes of talking shite about nothing.
Hopefully
we'll be back next week if things pick up a bit. We'll try to be.
So we'll know who's won the Confederations Cup.
That's half an hour already. So, you know the score. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We're still deciding who to send complaints to now Simon Head's departed.
Who would send a complaint anyway?
Stu Hoare.
Maybe Stu Hoare to actually wake him up. At Stu Hoare, yeah. Complaints to Stu Hoare.
Yeah.
Visit footballpodcast.co.uk and follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. Enjoy the rest of the week, guys. Fair dinkum.